AM 790 Talk and Business presents Waterfire Ignites Rhode Island with your host, Bronwyn Dannenfelser. Join Bronwyn to hear about the next Waterfire event in downtown Providence, plus other great cultural events happening in the community. Now, here's your host, Bronwyn Dannenfelser.
Well, and hello, 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 and welcome to Waterfire Ignites Rhode Island here on AM 790, your station for talk and business. I'm so excited. It is beautiful out. It feels like summer. And I don't know what you were doing last weekend, but you know, everybody had a bad forecast. They thought it was going to rain on Saturday night. I actually even thought it might rain on Saturday night. But lo and behold, by 5 o'clock, everything was beautiful and clouds cleared and Waterfire was on. Around 70,000 people down along the riverside experiencing some really fantastic things. I've got my incredible co-host, Mr. Barnaby Evans, who I'll talk to in a second, to tell us a little bit about our new addition to Waterfire, which is this wonderful beer garden. You know, where else can you go? You get a beer garden, you've got characters that are all Memorial Park, you've got fires and music and all sorts of art installations happening at an art installation. So if you miss Saturday, don't worry about it, because on August 1st, we have got a really large lighting coming up, and we'll talk a little bit more about that in the future. But, well, hello, Barnaby.
Hello, Brahman. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. It was a beautiful, pretty amazing night. Lots and lots of people. Many, many happy people from all over the world.
I know. So, I was a bit surprised because I thought that the weather forecast would have kind of, you know, turned people off a little bit. But, gosh, I mean, if it did turn anybody off, I'm not sure who it was, because 70,000.
There were many, many people there.
Yeah, many happy people. So that was in celebration of Navigant Credit Union.
100th anniversary, and we saw lots of joyous people from Navigant there. They had a great time.
Yeah, it was awesome. And, you know, again, we've got another huge
fire.
Cox
was Cox Cable.
Yep, Cox Communications, Cox Business, massive reception. But I just really enjoyed, everyone just seemed so happy. I didn't really, you know, I just saw lots of smiles on people's faces, and I think it was because we were, you know, we had that month-long hiatus, and now we know Waterfire is here, and we are about to go strong every other weekend from now through September 26th and October 3rd. We're going to have the Gloria Gemma Breast Cancer Resource Foundation lighting, and then, of course, in November, our salute to veterans. But I want
We have at least three fires in August, yeah. Yeah. But you started to mention the beer garden.
Barnaby, I did. Did you stop by the beer garden and have a couple of beers?
I did go by the beer garden. I didn't have any beers, but I saw lots of people enjoying the beers. This is a great new addition that we recommend to people. We're doing it with Trinity Brewhouse. And Josh Miller and Tommy, the brewmaster there, and Tony Gonzalez. And it was really, it's a new venue we've created right near the GTEC building in the Double Fires by the Mall. And it was a nod to the city of Frankfurt, because there's now a direct flight between Providence and Frankfurt.
That's right. What is that, Condor?
Back and forth. It's Condor Air. Yeah. And so we based the cuisine with Tony on Frankfurt cuisine, and they did two great German beers, and people loved it.
Was anybody wearing Lederhosen?
We did not have anyone in Lederhosen, but if someone would like to, we would love them to email us.
Would you allow me to wear Lederhosen?
I think I need to running the Brazier Society.
All right, okay. Lederhosen sounds like fun, though. Barnaby, we have got a great show lined up today, and I'm very, very excited. You know, I have known our first two guests for quite some time, especially one of them really for years, a five-year-long Waterfire sponsor through the Royal Bank of Canada. But we're going to be speaking with some dear friends here from RBC Wealth Management, our financial advisors Maureen Kerrigan and Courtney Chelgren of the Chelgren, I can really speak today, really I can, investment group, incredible mother-daughter duo in the financial industry here. And we're going to be discussing, you know, and I love this title that Maureen and Courtney came up with, you don't have to be a Gates or a Buffett for your gift to make a difference. So we want to talk a lot about charitable giving. Also, being a mother-daughter duo, I want to get into that, because I can personally say that I do not know many mother-daughter duos, whether it's even in law firms or banking or wealth management. So this is very exciting for me. But I would like to welcome you both to the show. Hello, Maureen.
Thanks so much, Bronwyn. It's a thrill to be here again.
Always good to have you. And always, you know, you give the best tips. You changed my life 5 years ago when I listened to some very sound, just basic financial advice, because I know you care about people and what they're doing. And Courtney.
Yeah.
Hello.
It's great to be here. Big shoes to fill with my mom leading off, but...
Oh, I hear that you're like the dynamic duo. You know, Batman's got Robin, and now you guys are together. And, you know, when I've got to say, one, congratulations. You joined the firm.
Yes, thank you. And a long time coming, but it was time, so...
Yeah, when did that happen?
I joined in December, and I officially went live May 1st.
There were a few minor tests in between. She had to pass series.
Yeah, a few minor tests, yeah.
All those things that are quite consuming, but passed them stellar, and she's on the way.
And congratulations. Those tests are famous for how difficult they are and how exacting. So
quite a few fun months of my life, yeah. But glad it's behind me.
Well, and again, it's very interesting. Two beautiful, very smart women, mother and daughter, in wealth management and being financial advisors. So I know, Maureen... Tell me a little bit about your passion when it comes to being a financial advisor, just in general.
I think education is as much a part of what we do, and trust. And those are two things that we focus on a lot. We tend to work with not just women, but being able to have a conversation that you feel a part of is important for some women, especially when it comes to finance. They feel like they might not be recognized as much. They might not, their opinions might not matter as much. And that's one of the things that we try to do, is engage everyone in the conversation, because you can't have just one person focused on the money and one person focused on the dry cleaning anymore. That's not the way of the world. And sadly, I'm finding that we're working with a lot more young widows.
Yeah.
And suddenly they're deer in the headlights. And they're not sure where everything is and what should they do and where do they go to. And that's part of how I originally got into this business, because of my own mother having that experience of not knowing where. Fortunately, she had six children that were all somewhat attuned to the business world, and we kind of got her quickly stepped up so that by the time she passed away, she knew what her Ford bonds were doing and her Apple stock was doing. So that's kind of how this has come about, is that it's a long-term relationship that you have with clients. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I've had a couple clients ask me, well, when are you going to retire? And I don't think I ever will. We don't have to in this business. You know, you work with good clients, you work with a wonderful firm like the Royal Bank of Canada. And what I'm looking at Courtney doing is be able to work with the next generation of my clients.
Yeah.
Parents who say, maybe, you know, my daughter doesn't maybe have enough money to work with a wealth advisor, and I say, she's part of the family.
Yeah, Courtney.
That's good to know, too.
How do you, I mean, are you finding that people come to you and they just don't know what to do with their money, that there's a generational gap? I mean, it's interesting, Maureen, you just talk about your experience with your mom and that you had, and that you love the education aspect of what you do. Obviously, it has been passed down to Courtney, and I'm imagining some of that same passion because you've gone into the same field. But what are you seeing?
I think my mom brought me into the business mostly to start educating the next generation earlier so that they don't end up right where their parents are, as unfortunately the young widows. I'm interacting with them when they're 18, 19, 20 years old, and kind of beating that before they have their first 401k opportunities or before they're faced with a financial decision. We're kind of starting the education earlier.
So it becomes more of a lifestyle and a habit rather than something where you're playing catch up.
Exactly.
You know,
and financial planning is all about starting early.
You bet.
I mean, it's not so much necessarily thinking about any particular end game, but having the flexibility for all that life might be, from charitable giving to other plans to starting a new business.
Yeah, so I'm going to just say, first of all, again, Royal Bank of Canada, 5-year sponsor, the Wealth Management Branch here in Providence, you know, supporting our fires on the water, helping us to bring this really big community event to life. So that is a very big thank you to you for giving back to your community. And I know that you do it in other ways as well. Before we talk, I jump into talking about, you know, everything that we need to know about philanthropy and donating. But very quickly, which we're going to do in the next segment, what about water? I know that RBC's got a connection to water.
We do. RBC has a very strong Blue Water Project. It's a 10-year global commitment to help protect the world's most precious natural resources, which is fresh water. So since 2007, we've pledged over $41 million to 700 charities.
Wow.
And every year we have an RBC Blue Water Day, where volunteers from RBC go out and they might clean up a riverbed, or they might freshly paint the seating along a walkway by a river. Or we're just very passionate about protecting this. But RBC as a whole is very passionate about being involved in the communities in which we live and work. Yeah. And that is kind of how our water fire relationship started. And we're just thrilled to be able to share this treasure with our clients and our families as part of the Brazier Society now for 5 years.
And to me, it kind of all fits together, because we work with multi-generations. We're 20 years old now, so many people and their parents, you know, whether they've been donors to WaterFire or just, you know, people that are coming to the event, their children have grown up coming to WaterFire. And, you know, when we come back, we're going to now talk about stepping into philanthropy and really what that means and giving. And again, you do not have to be a Gates or a Buffett. There are so many nonprofits here that are legitimate nonprofits. We're going to talk about that, how giving to nonprofits can help considerably, and how you can do your part in the community. You are listening to AM 790, your station for talk and business, and WaterFire Ignites Rhode Island. When we return, we are back again with Courtney Chelligren and Maureen Kerrigan, and we're going to be talking about philanthropy, because philanthropy is on the rise. We're bouncing back from 2007, everybody. We'll be back. Hello, 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 and welcome back. You are listening to Water Fire Ignites Rhode Island here on AM 790, your station for talk and business. And we are having a great conversation with Maureen Kerrigan and Courtney Chelligren. And we will be right back to talk a little bit about how you don't need to be a Gates or a Buffett to make a meaningful contribution. People need your help. But first, I just want to give a quick shout out to our underwriting sponsor, National Grid, and of course, our other sponsor, Lifetime Medical. Without their support, we would not be able to have this program and bring you behind the scenes of WaterFire and give you great information. So, ladies, welcome back. And Barnaby, welcome back.
I am back.
Pleased to be here. So let's talk. This is such a big issue at WaterFire, because we're a nonprofit and we're always looking for donations, and we're trying to access donors. We rely on donations for people, and the thought of charitable giving. So I'll start with you, Maureen. You know, charitable giving, I think that there's some myths about it. People don't know where to start.
Sure.
What is your take on charitable giving?
Well, first of all, I want to just get back to the point you talked about, how charitable giving has increased significantly. And just last month, GivingUSA Foundation published their annual report on the amount of money Americans donated in 2014. And individual giving increased from 2013 by 5.7% to $258 billion.
That's staggering.
It is. Now, there's, you know, other statistics on other segments, but 6 of the 9 categories reached new highs, and one of those was arts, humanities, and culture. So fitting right along with what the good that you do at WaterFire. So where do you get started? There's so many people looking for your money, and what you need to really step back and look at is you want to make an impactful gift, and you also get something out of it. By making a charitable contribution, you might get an immediate tax deduction. You might avoid paying some capital gains, say, for example, if you gave a gift of appreciated stock. And third, you could be doing some estate planning by removing an asset from your taxable estate. But I think the most important thing that you'll gain from giving a gift is how it makes you feel to support an organization that you're passionate about. You've almost become an owner.
Yeah, you become a partner in seeing the change in the world you want to see. And it's a very, you know, I think very often people are don't understand when they're charitable giving how important it is, but they also don't anticipate how much satisfaction they get of seeing what they help do.
And it starts young. Yeah. I have a lot of families that include charitable giving very, those types of conversations very early on with their children. So that maybe as a family, the family decides that, okay, we're as a family going to decide on one organization. And I've had situations with grandparents where they challenge the grandchildren, mm-hmm. you come to us with your best idea. Mm-hmm. And then grandpa will donate this amount of money. And one child thinks they win, but I happen to know that all the grandchildren's special gifts, but it has the children research, sure. which is an important part of giving to a charity. You need to do some research. You need to make sure they're legitimate. You need to make sure that the dollars that you are giving to them are being spent wisely. And there's a variety of resources that you can reach
Absolutely.
Out to.
And I'm sure you guide them in that. And you also need to think about the impact you want to have in the world and what you're passionate about. And in that research, you learn tremendous about what you're interested in, whether it be the environment or a theater group or something like that. And that partnership is a really fun thing to start. You know, I've often read that psychologists talk about what truly makes people happy. The thing that really has lasting satisfaction is knowing you made a difference.
Yes.
And that's what people talk about as, you know, later on in life, the fact of that they were able to help, that they were able to give advice, and they were able to contribute to the community.
So Maureen and Courtney, I'm not sure who wants to answer this, but so when do you start? I guess that would be my question. Let's say I'm 30 years old. I've got student loans. It's something where, you know, I've just started a great job. I just have a 401k coming in. I really love things. But how do I approach this? And am I supposed to be giving charitably now? Is there a percentage? How does that work?
It's a very personal thing, and you make a good point with people challenged with student loans and other debts. But I liken it to if you just take the money that you might spend going out for coffee 7 days a week and back it off to 5 days a week, take those extra 2 days a week, and suddenly you've got $30 at the end of the month that you can commit to an ongoing commitment. And make it be almost like an expense. Make it as a line item of your budget to be charitably minded. It really does your heart and soul some good, as Barnaby mentioned. So it can start, you know, after you've got the priorities and after you've got the rent and the mortgage and the car payments, I think you can find $5 to do something. Yeah. And then that becomes a forget-me. And the next time you get a raise, instead of spending all the raise or putting 100%, say, you know what, I'm going to take $25 this month and put it. And all of a sudden you find yourself where you're getting hit up from every friend's run-a-thon, bike-a-thon.
Yes.
Whatever. That's where I say it's important to think about impactful giving. Mm-hmm. So if you really do believe in that agency that that person is fighting for, let that be the impactful one.
I think that makes a lot of sense because we saw, you know, starting in 2007, and Barnaby, you and I both went through this, and it was tough. We saw a lot of not only corporate giving go down, but actual individual donors. I don't know if portfolios were dropping because of stock market drops and everything else.
They were.
But it really, it was painful. And we were lucky enough being, you know, at Waterfire to survive and weather those storms. But so many other, not only were they artistic groups that people really cared about, or even Waterfire, we were, you know, we've always done. Again, we were very lucky, and we were able to work with a lot of other groups that, you know, were not receiving as much funding as we were. But there, we needed people to know that their gift made a difference, whether it was $10, $15, $30, that this thing that everybody loves, Waterfire, but nobody really wanted to pay for it, and I'm putting that in air quotes, was what we were finding. So I think you're right. I think what is it that is important to you? And then I love the idea, Barnaby, you said this, you find out, and Maureen, you did as well, you find out really what is important to you. What are these things that you want to continue as you grow and as you have children?
And things like water fire can be part of an estate plan, too. Mm-hmm. Let's say somebody would like to leave a bequest to water fire. Those are all things that you can talk to your financial advisor and tax advisor on, you know, setting up a life insurance policy that, you know, a charitable organization may be the beneficiary of. You may have a piece of real estate. You may have some highly appreciated assets that you might want to pass along in a more tax-efficient way, because part of this comes into estate planning. And the way I look at estate planning is it's your money, and there's basically three choices. Mm-hmm. You can leave it to your heirs, you can distribute it the way you want, or you can distribute it to the IRS.
I don't think you want to distribute it to the IRS, do you necessarily?
Some people may. I mean, there are many things the United States does that we appreciate.
Thoughtful charity is a part of your life from you alluded to your early 20s until you're no longer breathing.
And it's your choice, and you should step into starting making those decisions. You know, just some listeners may not quite understand what you were talking about, that about the reason for this wise giving and the tax advantages. But if you have an asset that increases in value, you're responsible for paying, you know, tax on that increase in value, unless you've decided to gift that to something, in which case you may have bought something, say, for, you know, $5,000 30 years ago, and it's now appreciated in value and it's worth $50,000 or $60,000. When you sell that, that taxes is due. However, you could also give that to some charitable cause that you were really excited about, and you're still giving them this you invested $5,000, it's now worth $55,000, but they get the full $55,000, whereas you would have to pay taxes on the $45,000.
And you have the opportunity then to sell that $55,000 asset and then put it to work as the charity
exactly
would like.
And so it saves you taxes, and it diverts what would have been taxes. So it's actually additional money that you're giving to a cause that you're passionate about, because a significant portion of that money would go in taxes.
Right.
So it's important for people to realize that. And then I just want to reiterate the early thing. You know, people keep postponing thinking about saving for retirement. And this is the great thing about interest and investment, is the sooner you do it, the more resources you'll have. And it's a good habit to get into.
Yeah, speaking of which, Courtney, I know that you have been spearheading something for the summer stop, but on Wednesdays, can you explain a little bit more about that?
So one Wednesday a month, we're trying to further my mom's passion of education, and we're having drop-in sessions where you can call in, you can come in person. We have wine if you come in person, if that's your incentive. But we just basically turn it into an open forum. Whatever people want to talk about, whatever they feel like sharing about their personal financial situation, whatever questions they may have, whether we want to buy a house in 5 years, can you tell me how on target I am? And it really is just an open forum.
That's really great. So it's a free open forum. And where are you located? And how do people find out more information about when these will be?
We're located in downtown Providence, but is there a way for them to get in touch with you, and we can get them on an email list or on the website?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm sure we can figure something out.
Is there a website we can give to
get to
you? We've
got a website, yep.
Yeah, let's announce that for people to be able to find it.
Okay, it's the hard names, but it's it's KerriganChelgrinInvestment.com. But if you were to Google Courtney Chelgrin RBC, you'd be able to find her, and just reach out and we'll get you on our mailing list. And we do send out a framework of some topics we might be hitting one night. We've done retirement. We've done beginning to talk to your aging parents about finances, because some people need that as well.
I think. Yeah.
And I want to spell Chelgrin, which is Chellgren. So.
Yeah.
Courtney Chelgrin, RBC, right?
Yes. Yeah.
I think what a great service, and I'll definitely be popping in, because to me it can be daunting, and even just trying to figure out the ins and outs of where to put money, where it's best, you know, and how much to donate. I was brought up in a family that believed in donating money. My husband is very big on with philanthropy, and even when we don't necessarily have a lot, we make sure that we give some away, because we know that's what's creating our community and making it a better place for us to work, live, and play. So, ladies, I want to thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you for having us. We're thrilled to be here.
And thank you for sponsoring Water Fire. And, you know, maybe a little bit later on in the year, we'll be able to have you back and discuss some more things, because I could talk to you for hours and hours.
But
again, it's been great having you on. Thank you for the great information. We're going to try to post some of this in a blog, too, because Maureen, you sent over a lot of great tips. You are listening out there, everyone, to Water Fire Ignites Rhode Island here on AM 790, your station for talk and business. And when we come back, guess what? It's the week of the Fringe Festival. So we're going to be talking to Josh Short and also to one of the artists that you're going to want to go check out, Stuart Wilson. And yeah, we'll be back. Bye-bye.